We all know the story of Adam and Eve and their sin against God, the original sin, the disobedience, and the subsequent expulsion from the Garden of Eden, and the fact that because of their sin, death came into the world. Remember that prior to that, when God had created Adam and Eve, they were created in his very likeness, in the image and likeness of God. Genesis says they were made male and female, which means that they were to enjoy eternal life. In fact, they were to enjoy eternal youth, never to get sick, never to get old, never to die, just to enjoy the wonder of God's creation as it was for all eternity. But sin came into the world by the devil's temptation, and of course, with sin came death. As St. Paul says, just as in Adam all die, though, all in Christ will come back to life again. God promised there would be something to redeem them. But even in the beginning, after their sin, as you recall, Adam and Eve noticed their nakedness and they were ashamed, so they hid. They hid from God, they hid from each other, and began to blame each other for what had happened. But then God had to cover them with animal skins. Now think about that. Something had to die to cover their shame. Something had to be sacrificed to cover their nakedness. So while death comes into the world as a bad thing, it's also something that's going to cover nakedness, cover shame. And because of death, too, Adam and Eve would have to live. Plants would have to die. Animals would have to die so that they could live. And that's what happens. Death brings life. Keep in mind that for human beings, life after original sin would have been a greater curse than death. Life after original sin would have been a greater curse than death. And therefore, death comes as an act of mercy, allowed by God for a greater good, that is, eternal life, and subsequently, resurrection. The Book of Wisdom says that God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. He fashioned all things, they would have life. They would have life. Also in Genesis, God chooses a man, Abraham, as he would be known, well advanced in years, and his wife Sarah, well past childbearing years, and they're going to have a son, God says. And this son, of course, is going to bring great joy to Abraham, and through this son, Isaac, is going to raise up a great nation of people, the Israelites. And so, of course, Abraham is happy about this, to be the father of a great nation. Then as his son gets of age, God asks him to sacrifice this son. Now, you and I have all been in a situation, I'm sure, where God has granted a request, where God might have granted a prayer. Then all of a sudden, he asks us to do something different. Maybe something is taken away. Maybe it is a death or a loss of some kind, or things just don't go the way that we expected them to go. It happens. It's life. Does that mean that God does not love us anymore or that he's taken away his attention? No. But he is going to try and he's going to test our faith as he did with Abraham. Abraham was willing to do what God asked him, however, difficult though it might have been, he was ready to do it. And as he had Isaac on the altar, as the knife was being raised, then of course the angel of God comes and tells him to spare his son. But God had seen Abraham's faith and his trust in God's providence. So instead they sacrificed a lamb that had his horns caught in the thicket. Again, God spares a life, but a sacrifice was made in order that life will continue. In the Old Testament, we see Elijah at the home of the widow of Zarephath, the same widow he had been brought to quite a bit before. There had been a great famine in the land. No rains had fallen for about 3 years or so. And he sees this widow gathering a few sticks to go to inside her house. She's going to make a little bit of bread for herself and for her son. Elijah asks her to make a cake for him, and she says, I don't have a whole lot of stuff left. Once I've made what I've got, my son and I are going to die. No more flour, no more oil. Elijah says, do as I say, and the Lord is going to provide for you, and of course he does. She makes the cake for Elijah, and of course for a year after that she has enough oil and flour in her jar, and they live until now. Her son falls sick. The sickness grows worse, until he stopped breathing. She says to Elijah, why have you done this to me, O man of God? Again, we ask the same question, why, God, has this happened? Have you come to call attention to my guilt and to kill my son? But then Elijah goes and prays over the body of her son. He calls out to the Lord, let the breath of life return to the body of this child. And the son is alive. We see the same thing happening in the gospel, where Jesus meets up with a woman, a widow, no husband, no other children, her only son is dead, which means that her life now will soon come to an end. She has no one to provide for her, nobody to protect her. And the Lord looks at her with pity and says, do not weep. He says to the young man, I tell you, arise. St. Augustine, commenting on this, says that some people marvel at the miracles that they hear the Lord working on the physical things. We're amazed at Jesus raising a person from the dead, amazed at Jesus multiplying loaves and fish, amazed at all kinds of things that Jesus can do in that regard. But how much more marvelous, St. Augustine says, is that which Christ accomplishes in the soul, to restore a soul to life, to have a soul bringing forth goodness and peace and the graces of God, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, if you would, into the world. It is a greater thing to raise what will live forever than to raise what will die again. It's a greater thing to raise what will live forever than to raise what will die again. When the young man was raised, his widowed mother would rejoice. When souls are raised daily from sin and spiritual death, Mother Church rejoices. Jesus sought out those that he knew to be dead, and he alone could make them live again. He still seeks out those who are dead in sin, as he alone can make them live again. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I say to you, arise. Sometimes we have to die daily to ourselves. Every one of us here has a temptation to one thing or another. Every one of us here has a grudge or a lack of forgiveness. We have human imperfections, human weaknesses. Anything that we have that keeps us from being like Christ, but being fully alive in Christ, has to be put to death. It's not an easy thing. It can be a very painful thing. But this is exactly what Christ is asking, that we die to ourselves and live in him. Humanity dies always. But what makes us who we are, our very souls, enlivened by Christ through baptism, through the sacraments, through every act of goodness that we do, anytime that we open up ourselves to grace, that increases the presence of Christ in us, and that is what makes us alive. Yes, our bodies are going to weaken and die one day. Our souls, however, shall not, if we live in Christ. And as Jesus says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die, and I will raise him up on the last day. I will raise him up on the last day. Yes, we have heaven, but we also are promised resurrection. The foretaste we have is even now. Kind of think about what Jesus is going on, what he's doing in the gospel, and what he's thinking in his mind. Here is a widowed mother and a dead son, and he's thinking to himself, my mother's a widow now too. St. Joseph probably dead by this time. Mary herself a widow, her only son, Christ. He knows what's going to happen with his mother, with himself. He knows that he will rise. This resurrection is a prefigurement of his own. This young man will die again. Christ will never die. But if this young man came to know Christ and to serve him, then likewise he would never die as well. As St. Paul says, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached is not of human origin. It's not something that I was given on my own. No human being taught it to me. It came by a revelation of Christ. St. Paul knew what it was to die to himself, to his old way of life. A young man who loved his Jewish faith, well educated in the Jewish faith. He was a scholar, a teacher, a rabbi. In all of that, he persecuted the church of God beyond measure. He tried even to destroy it as he began to grow, so he thought, in his Jewish faith, beyond many of his contemporaries. He was evermore a zealot for his ancestral traditions, but then God came and said, enough. Your life will change. You must die to the old way and rise to the new. In other words, as has been said before, if you want to make God laugh, you tell him your plans. That's exactly what happens. As he said, God did have other plans for me. From my mother's womb, he had set me apart. He called me through his grace. He was pleased to reveal his son to me that I might proclaim him to the Gentiles. Not something I wanted to do, but something I was called to do, and responded. I did not immediately consult flesh and blood. I went away to Jerusalem to think about this for a while, to think, to pray, to fast and to pray. I didn't go up just yet, but then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to confer with Cephas, that is, St. Peter, and remained with him for 15 days, not talking to any other apostles, but only James, who was the brother, the relative, the kinsman of the Lord. Peter, James, and John saw the transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, the first ones to experience the resurrected Christ. Peter, James, and John, who knew what it was to die and to rise again to a new way of life. And so it is with us. If we have been dead in sin, if we have been dead in complacency, if we've been dead in refusal to change, even though we might come to Mass week after week and pray day after day, if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work within us to transform our hearts and minds and souls, our thoughts, our actions, everything about us to become more and more like Christ, then we decay and die. But Christ has not come to bring death, he's come to bring life, life to the full. May we say, with all the saints who have gone before us, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Whatever it is that you see in me that needs to be taken away, transform me and make me like unto yourself, that I may live and never die.